Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Let's go before Him in prayer. Precious Lord, we come to You once more, Lord. Lord, so very thankful that we have a desire down deep in our hearts, Lord, together. Lord, to see what You have for us this evening. Lord, we're just so appreciative, Lord, of everything, every opportunity, Lord, together. Lord, that You provided such a little place for us, a little humble place, Lord. Lord, I can't thank You enough, Lord. I appreciate it. Lord, just have Your way in this service. Everything that's said and done, be for Your glory and Your honor. Precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Mike Turner, Only Believe. Over to 91, page 91. Lord, I have started to walk in the light, shining upon me from heaven so bright. I made the world and its follies adieu. I've started in with Jesus and I'm going through. have that determination, that confidence. I am going through by His grace.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to turn our little capstone life books over to page 22. Amen. Knowing, amen, I know. He has something for me to fulfill my life, amen. Some people say that this old time religion is just a thing of the past, but in this modern prepared for the pure and the true. It's a place where sickness and death cannot enter. Amen. Won't that be wonderful? I'm going, brother. How about you? That's something to get excited about, saints. Amen. This old world, not my home. Amen. Now maybe today or maybe tomorrow, he'll return in robes of pure white. I'm packing up now. Amen. Getting my things together. Who knows? It might be tonight. Wouldn't that be something, saints? Amen. Get out of this old world. Amen. Oh, I know, there's no doubt about it. He lives in my heart, and I'm gonna shout it. Something to get excited about, saints. Amen. Not unless you want to stay down here in this old world. No way. No way, saints. Not worth it. Don't give up now. Keep fighting. Amen. Like to turn the page. Amen. I had it down here. I don't think I wrote it down. Amen. Page 665. I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. If you know you are, you know He's going to prepare the way for you. Amen. Nothing to worry about. Amen. I was close in the wraps of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within, but with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings,
mercy.
Lord, we love and appreciate you. Lord, who are we, Lord, to be worthy? Oh, God, hallelujah. Oh, we're thankful, Lord. So thankful, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. His mercy and grace. Only by grace, not by works. Hallelujah. So thankful he thought of me as I was wretched. Amen. And vile as could be. Amen. Have to see that before you see his grace. And I'm thankful he's seen me. Hallelujah. You may be seated if you'd like. Brother Amos, if you could take up the offering, if you would. Amen. Let's bless you, Lord.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we have such a thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord, for you. For all you've done for us, Lord, and the price you paid for us. We are so thankful. Lord, I thank you for seeing me. Lord, I love and appreciate you. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, you've granted to us once more together around your precious word, Lord. Such a grand privilege. Lord, this as your word comes forth this night, Lord, we ask that our hearts and minds will be open to receive what you have for us. Lord, as we've come to this portion once more, we ask that you'll bless this offering, Lord. Let it be used for the upbuilding of your kingdom. Have your way in the service, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. He brought me in. Oh, I praise God. Amen. He brought me in. He brought me in. Amen. He brought me in. He brought me in. Oh, I praise God. He brought me in. Oh, look out yonder, where I have been. Oh, I praise God. He brought me in. Amen. You may be seated. This time we'll ask and see if anybody's got a song in their heart or a special. As a group or an individual. Brother Tim.
I wonder if we could just sing that little chorus, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. It's on page 33.
Amen. In the little books. Is that your prayer? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. Thank you. open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Hallelujah. Is that our prayer? Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you, Lord. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. To see his name praised. Shining in the light of your glory, not mine. Not any man's. Pour out your power and might, Lord. As we sing, holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah. May that be our prayer. May that be our desire. Amen. As we stand to our feet, we ask our pastor to come at this time. Amazing grace. Hallelujah. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but
Heavenly Father, again, we are so thankful and appreciative in our hearts that once again you have given us this opportunity. And Lord, we count it a great privilege to be here and to be gathered, Lord, in the house of God where you can speak to our hearts through the Word of God. And Father, you move by your Holy Spirit and reach down to the hearts of the people. Lord, it's truly amazing grace. And truly, it's so sweet of a sound that, Lord, we've been saved by your mercy and grace. We ask now that you would just speak to our hearts through the word tonight and help each one of us to have our eyes open, Lord, and to see the things in which you've given to us in this hour. And, Father, may we never push anything off from your word and say it is of no value, of no meaning, or it's not for me. But Lord Jesus, may we be, as we've used a little illustration many times about the little hungry bird. Lord, the minute it felt the vibrations and heard just a little bit of sound of it, its mouth was wide open. Oh God, feed me, Lord, feed me. So we ask now that you would bless us, and in all things we ask in your glorious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Before you be seated, we'll just again read part of the little verse we read this morning, Malachi 3 and 6 verse. Malachi 3 and 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. May the Lord bless during his word. Again, you may be seated. Amen. It's such a wonderful thing to know that he doesn't change. Amen. That when he says something or does something, you can bank your whole life on it. That's the way it is. Amen. He doesn't want to change it for nobody. And I appreciate God doing it that way, because it helps us to understand that he is so mindful of making sure everything comes out just right, you know, and keeps it right. And as we read in the little message this morning, the super sign, I just want to refresh our minds of something here. And a super sign we find here on paragraph 25. This was November 29th, 1963, I guess it was. And now we find just about the same thing existing today, when we know that we're living in the hour that gross darkness is to cover the earth, and the people. And we find that all these modern achievements of super age and so forth that we're living in is only the sign of gross darkness in the spiritual realm. We're in the Laodicean church age where they're just lukewarm. They could go to church, and people does, and seems to have a zeal to go to church. But to know anything about the Spirit, the time that they're living in, some of them are as blind as they can be about those things. No matter what God would do and how well it would be proved by His Word, still, they just can't see it. And I wonder if it isn't just about like what he said. We have eyes, but we can't see. We ought to look around and see all these things that's happening are a sign that the end is at hand, because these are the things that was predicted to be at that time. And I want you to notice the unchanging continuity of God's Word and His works. He never changes, never changes His program. He never changes His ways, just as perfectly. The Scripture is perfect continuity. Everything that God does in continuity with what He's done, and He says, and what He did first, that's, He'll do the second time the same way. So we find that in this knowing that He is an unchangeable God, He changes not. He doesn't change for anybody. He does exactly what He ordered, pre-ordered in His great mind that He would do. And again, nothing is going to change it regardless of all the modern achievements that we have today. And we spoke about this morning, and how we see these modern achievements is trying to distract our attention from the very purpose and reason why we're here, and to give our life completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's there to distract that. It's there to distract us from Him having the preeminence, the complete preeminence of our lives. It's there to distract us to get our minds on other things. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, there's many scriptures that shows our mind should be the mind of Christ, you know. And those who minds is on Him shall find perfect peace, says in the book of Isaiah. So all these things is to distract us, though. And though, as we talked about this morning, there's a lot of good things about it. You know, there's good things about an automobile. You know, we can get to and from the job a lot easier. We can get to the services a lot easier. We can go get the needs that we have a lot easier. But you can put that automobile in the wrong place in your life. Just like a cell phone. We talked about them, you know. It's a good thing, you know. God has blessed us with a phone to be able to contact each other and so forth. But at the same time, especially one that's a smartphone or has the internet, it can also destroy you. So it's, you know, these things are a blessing in a way in some things, but they also can be a curse. They can also be a distraction from the very purpose we've been sent here for. But here we find that regardless of all this junk Satan has helped bring into our existence and to give us to use and to abuse, you know, and to have a part of, again, you've got to keep in mind that, could this destroy me? Could this automobile destroy me? Could this nice fine home destroy me? Could this job I have destroy me? You know? All these things we have to be careful of, because of we see, and as we talked about, you know, the last just 100 years of the achievements that's taken place, you know, modern achievements compared to what it was. I mean, within a little over 100 years, it's went from horse and buggy to the automobiles we have now. Even from the very first flight of the Wright brothers, look what it went from that to what they fly now. And sometimes we may look at it and we may see, sometimes I'm interested, and I see books and things of how things are put together and how they're made and different things. And you look even at a jet engine and you think, how's that thing work? You know? And it's just amazing the things man has put together. And he's put things together in such a way that it's went to the moon already. They've got devices that's went to Mars. It's all these things. It's his achievements, you see. But again, like I said, have we got what it takes and to desire what it takes to keep that under subjection. Though it's all around us, it's everywhere. Yeah. Everything's done to make it easier for us. You know, like I talked about this morning, you know, the automobile, you used to have to crank it, you know, to get it going with a crank. Imagine that. And now all we do today is jump in an automobile, and guess what? Even the seats are nice and soft. And even a lot of them are heated. And the steering wheel is heated. My, it's just so nice, you know. And it's so much more to think about, to get the comfort of it, to desire it and to long for it. Yeah. There's so many more gadgets and devices out there that stirs man's carnality to a position to desire it and to have a part of it. And there's just more of it. It's everywhere. And just constantly just keeps getting more and more and more and more. Nicer and nicer and fancier and easier to use. And just everything is just at our fingertips, you know. And if we don't have it, we just go, the money to get it, we just go get a credit card. And then we just go get another credit card. And all these things just keep building up and building up and building up. And where does God go in our life? Where does he go? You know, like I talked about this morning also, you know, for those that wasn't here, you know, here we got a cell phone. And we know the addiction, people are coming completely addicted to it. And it's, as I said, you know, it's kind of strange, you know. You know, of course, the prophet even told us, and of course, Scripture tells us, pray without ceasing. And the prophet said, don't pray every week or every day, pray every hour. But it's amazing how easily we can find time every hour or less to do something with that phone than to pray. Just amazing. Now, do you really think that's the way God wants it to be? When he shows us plainly in the Scriptures, he's supposed to be first and the most important in our life. He's to be our most foremost decisions we make, the greatest desire we have, everything. Plainly in the Scripture. There's nothing hidden. It's open as plain as we could see it. I mean, it's just everywhere. It shows us, you know. And then when the prophet came along and brought the many things he did in his last days, we see that how true that is, you know. God must be first, you know. And nothing else can be, because even the Scripture tells us, even a wife, as precious as she is, we must attend upon the Lord without distraction. My. And look at the distraction all this junk is. When the Word told us clear back then, not even let a woman be a distraction to you. So we find that living in that time, how does a people ever accomplish this? How will a people ever stay true and give their whole life to the Lord Jesus Christ through all this webbing of materialism there is today? Where everywhere you walk and you, every step you take, I'm sure you probably all have felt a spider's web, haven't you? Especially a fresh one. How sticky and tacky it is. And it catches those bugs and things because immediately they contact and then they start trying to get loose. Of course, the vibration is shaking. The spider sees what's going on and it runs across this web and then starts turning to destroy and kill whatever insect it was landed in the trap. And I think of this web as this material things. Have we got the formula inside of us that can repel that? That can repel all this materialism. All the things we like to do in this life. And there's nothing wrong with doing some things, you know. I mean, as long as the things are pleasing the Lord. Nothing wrong with having a home. We must have a home. Must have a roof over our head, you know. We must have a job so we can provide for our own. We can eat. We must have clothing. And in this day and age in which we live, we about have to have an automobile or we're not just going to ever get to the job and back like we need to and get the job done. We maybe not be able to make it to the services if we didn't have an automobile. So these things we have to have, basically. You know, at least we feel we do. And those countries that still hasn't got the things we have, and they do without it, but maybe when they go to church, you have to start out 3 or 4 hours ahead of time, but eventually get there. But we're able to jump in our automobile and be here within 15, 20 minutes, or whatever, how far we live, depending on that. But yet, what's this web do to you? How does it control you? And as I said, do you have within you what it's going to take to repel that web? Yeah. Something very serious to think about, because to think about it, look at the material things in this life that will send many to hell. Whether we want to accept it or not, it will. It will send many to hell. And the sad thing it is when a person doesn't realize that they've made contact with that web and they can't seem to shake themselves loose. Yeah. And they're fighting and struggling, and it's just shaking things around. And my, is this, and at times it seems like the world's turned upside down because everything around them is just shaking and quivering, and the net, the web's just going crazy, you know, because you're trying to get loose and you think, oh, I shouldn't be here, and I know better than this, and I shouldn't let this happen. But all the time, while all this shaking and quivering and trying to get loose and everything is happening, and if we haven't done exactly what God said to do, here comes that old spider. The old devil. And he's moving in on you. And you know he is. And you're getting scared. And you know things ain't right. And you're getting worried. And you're trying to figure out, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And yet you're shaking, and oh, am I just trying to tear loose from this thing? And just, what do you need to break loose? What are you going to do about it? Because Satan might be closing in on you. Things are just seem like every channel, every avenue, things are closing in on you. And you're getting really, my, talking about a hypertension, and you're just getting really stressed out. It's still your joy away. And you don't know what step to take. I'll tell you tonight, and I'll remind you tonight. You already have been given the repellent. But because of the desire for more things of this life and thinking there's no harm to it and thinking that it's going to be okay, that there's no way this could harm me, I'm strong enough in myself, I can handle this. I'll warn you again tonight too. There ain't nobody in here strong enough to battle off the material things of this life in yourself. You might think you are, but you're not as tough as you think you are. No. The only way you can do it is through Christ. That Holy Spirit being in you. And you know exactly then, you're more than able to take the land. More than able. And the thing of it is, it isn't just being able to say that and to speak it with my lips and to confess it before people, but it's my life will show it. Your life will show it. That will be like Joshua and Caleb, you know, and stand the test. Because I'm telling you, this materialism around us today is truly a test. It is. Oh my. And you know, it's kind of amazing how it works, because you know, here the very thing that Satan has put all this together in his Eden and put all this junk around us to try to distract us. Here we are, you know, something that'll kill us. Something that'll destroy us spiritually. All these modern achievements, if we let it, you know. All these modern achievements, here they are choking around us. And here we have all this materialism. The very thing that will kill us. And yet, sometimes we get in the wrong trend of thinking and we think how precious it is. We think how precious my nice home is. We think how precious my nice automobile is. We think how precious my farm is, or how precious this is, and that is my job, and maybe making good money and all this, and how precious it is. And my, it just makes us so happy to have these material things. And it'd be the very thing if you allow it to destroy you. And yet we're happy about these things. I think of a quote the prophet said in the church age book. The elected, the predestinated are not material minded. Now think of that. They're not material minded. Yes, she knows she has to have things to operate with. Yeah. And nothing wrong with having something nice. But what can it do to us? It's just like money. Money's good to have. Money's nice to have because you can do the things maybe you need to do, or maybe the money to help somebody else, or to help the church, or whatever it may be. But just think of it, the love of money. Not even having it, or not having very much of it, but just the love of money is the root of all evil. Isn't that truth? Absolutely. And you can always tell somebody when it's the love of money is there, because their whole life is built around it. Yeah. And trying to keep people from getting it, worrying about somebody getting it, or being so tight that your ears squeak. Yeah. You can see a brother in need, or this happening, and just close your bowels of compassion. Just, you know, I want my money. What are you going to do when all the banks crash and you lose all that money? What are you going to do when that money has lost its value? There's a lot of economists now, and everything's already been said, and they've said it for 2 or 3 years, that one day money will have absolutely no value. And of course, they tell you, buy material things, because they'll always be there, and you can always sell that or do something with that, you know, or even trade if you have to, comes to it. That's their predictions. That's their way of saying things. But just again, remember, as we mentioned this morning, everything that you can see with these natural eyes, friends, is going to fade away. It's going to perish. It's going to pass away. Yeah. But sometimes these material things, is there's something about it we just want to gather, gather, gather. Try to get more. Gather, gather, gather. Until, have you honestly ever seen a time when there's so many storage units? They can't build them fast enough. No. Because people want this, they want that, they want this, they want that. They fill up the closets, they fill up the buildings, they fill up now storage units. And it just keeps on going, keeps on going. A nation of covetousness. Yeah. And that web, as I said, is all around us. I may not get very far tonight, but I want to make sure we get somewhere on something on this. It's there to destroy you. If you get what I'm talking about here this evening and have talked about this morning, there's no way you can look at something material and think it's precious. No way. Or guard it with your life. No. It can be gone tomorrow so easily. Yeah. Some people want nothing but antiques. So they buy more and more antiques, more antiques, more antiques, more antiques. I hope nobody in here does that. I just, you know, people do that. And then when they get done with antiques, they want things that's like this and like that and like baby, certain baby dolls and this, that, and the other. Everything, you know, just keep gather, gather, gather. You know? Wouldn't it be nice if the Lord Jesus Christ was that important to us? To where we fought and pressed to get Him and more of Him like we do material things. What a better off people we would be. See? But God is unchangeable. Yeah. What He required before, He requires today. See? And the unchangeable God working in the unexpectable way. This was preached January 20th, 1962. Paragraph 44. But we find out that the churches change and the people changes, the road changes, the scenes change, the politics changes. But there's one thing that does not change, he says, and that's God. He remains the same. I am God, and I change not. I want you to remember, think of him even, our Lord Jesus Christ, the example he put. The Son of Man hath nowhere to even lay his head. Wow. Rusty, okay, you tell me if we can't have a pillow? We can't have a house to sleep in? No. But I'm just showing you, friends. Renewing your minds to something, friends, that there's a reality to that we need to experience more. Because our lives is so entangled in this web. And some are getting scared. Some are getting worried. As I said a little bit ago. You're losing your assurance. You're losing your confidence. You're losing your blessing. Because you're seeking things of this life, this world, more than Jesus Christ. You give this world more time and the devices that it has offered you more than you give to him. You ain't going to sit there and say, not me. Because at least some of us have to say, yep, it's me. It's me. And again, as I've always said, I'd rather know now than it'll be too late. And to be caught in that web and can't get loose. Because remember, Satan is spinning his web every day. And trying to catch you every angle that he can catch you. Oh yeah, if your adversary goeth about as a roaring lion, as a roaring spider too. Seeking them who he may devour. Yeah. Trying to destroy you. We often forget this, that Satan's out there trying to destroy you. Yeah, and he hasn't got the permission maybe to do, you know, because he has had permission. Like he did Job. And sometimes we don't realize, though, he's still trying every tactic and every trick he possibly can to even get your mind off of the Word. Oh, yeah. To try to get you distracted in the purpose you were sent here for. And how we must be wise as serpents and harmless as a dove. And watch for the enemy. Watch for his tactics. Yeah. When you see something in this life offered to you, some kind of new device or something like that, do you pray about it? What can this do to me? What will this do? Can this deter me? Can this slow me down? Well, now we should be fighting more than ever and pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus more than we ever have in our life. And then Satan throws this in there. He throws that in there. Ha, this will slow them down. They'll spend all night on this piece of junk working on it. And then they'll get up the next day and try to figure it out. And the next day, but I'm going to throw this and add this to it. I'm going to add that to it. And my, this is going to be so appetizing to them. You watch them. You watch, Lord, and see where they go. Go ahead, Satan. Can God do that? Go ahead, Satan. He's a righteous man. My spirit is within him. He'll not let that destroy him. Oh my. I am God, I change not. No matter how long it is, God has never changed one bit, and he cannot change. Oh, he says, what a place. The reason he cannot change is because God is infinite, and anything that's infinite cannot change. And then let us study this just for a moment before approaching into the scriptures. Infinite. Infinite, he says, he repeats, there is no beginning, no end. He is almighty, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, knows all things, all places, all times, all powerful. He is God, and he cannot change. Now, I can make a decision and say it's going to be this way. See, I'm finite. Yeah. I'll have to change because things come up that I'll have to say, well, I was wrong. Yeah. Because we're finite. But God can't do that. Because His one decision is that forever, and He cannot change decisions. He cannot change it. I want you to think about all these words that I've been mentioning. Things in the Scripture. Seek ye first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. All these things in the Scripture, because in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Is that right? So when I read this Bible, I know it's God. You see? So this is God's instructions. This is our roadmap on what we should do. But when we get out of the roadmap and don't pay attention to the roadmap, that's the immediate time you have landed in that web. Oh, and don't you think Satan don't jump on it. He sees you land into that web, you start getting attached, and my, now he's ahead for you, and he's going to put this in your mind. See, that's not right. You see, there's nothing wrong with doing it on this and having this and doing this and using it this way and use it that way. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Now, you just pay attention to me, and we'll get a little more time out of you, you know. We'll destroy a little bit more of it, you know. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, to be frank with you, saints, there's enough necessities in life we have to do and to just keep adding. And it's different when it's something we add that's filled with carnality and flesh, sensuality. Yeah. Yeah. Going fishing ain't too bad, you know, because you're not filled with all that bunch of junk. You can usually get out there and meditate and pray and think about what the Lord is doing for you and things like that, you know. But going over here and doing something else with some kind of material thing, sometimes Satan can offer you an awful lot of things with that device. Yeah. And I'll warn you, some parents and when your children are on the computers and things, be careful what they're doing with that computer. Even their schoolwork and things. Be careful. Okay? Because sometimes they got little words going out to the little friends and little buddies that they've gotten, oh, mom and dad wasn't there watching, and I got this looked up and I got that looked up. So maybe you ought to just make sure what they're looking up. Yeah. Friends, they got enough distractions without you allowing them to do that. Yeah. He says here, therefore, if God's attitude towards one sinner and wanted to repent, Adam and Eve, and God made a way for them to repent, and He forgave them, forgave that sinner, and the next sinner comes, God has to do the same thing to that sinner. Or he did wrong when he acted the first sinner. And if a man was sick, now he's giving us little examples here, and God healed one man, then ever another man comes to God, he's got to do the same thing. Or he did wrong when he healed the first one. If he comes on the same ground, see, what a resting place then for the soul that's seeking refuge. Now in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Now he says, he skips here. Now we wonder, the world, what it's got out here, the Word of God created the Word, or the world. Hebrews 11 tells us the world was made out of things which does not appear. God spoke it into existence because He was God. He just said, let there be, and it was so. Therefore, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word that was spoken was a creative Word, and every word that was spoken cannot be taken back for a mistake. It can't be. So now, can these words that we're mentioning in here, is these mistakes? When He's telling us to what He expects out of our life? For Him to be first in our life? The most important? Our first decision? To have the mind of Christ? All these things. Did He make a mistake? Now, is He going to change that? No. He isn't going to change that. Just because it's 2020 and there's more junk around us? He isn't going to change it. No. But he's going to have his people fortified to be able to withstand and go through all that and not let any of it distract them. You see? I hope I'm making some sense, friends. Then in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, which is Christ. And now the Word of God, written in the Bible, is His Word to us. Is it not? It's His Word to us. To me, I take it personally, it's His Word to me. And of course, you have to do the same thing, you see. But it's His Word to me. He's telling me what He expects and what it's going to be and what it has to be. Okay? And if it ain't that, I'm lost. That's why I look at it. If I ain't that and I can't reach that, I know I'm lost. Because I know He doesn't change. You see? So by God's grace, He's given me a desire to see it that way and to hold on to it that way. That if I don't do it, I know I'm not elected. You see? Because the election will do it. You see? Okay? And every promise has to be the same. He says, and every promise has the same power of creation behind it. That's God's word. He said, that's God's word, did at the what it did at the beginning. If we believe it to be the word of God, depends on where the seed falls. If it falls into ground that can create a moisture, a nourishment around the promise of God, it will bring forth every promise the Bible made. Now, do you know God made a promise today of the bride what she would do? He promised He'd have a bride that He would express His life through. That He would again bring her back to that word where Eve fell. She will stay with that word. 100%, friends. Yes. He'd make sure. He'd give her the right desire, everything, the right formula, everything that was needed. He'd put it all inside of her. And He would give her His word. He would build that word up in her. And as she received the word, she'd become the word, and she would make sure she was in the word of God and listening to the word of God come forth. He'd give her a fivefold ministry. He would give her men that would bring forth the word and the word only, and she would grow up to the fullness of the stature of Christ and the unity of the faith. You see, God promised it, and it'll happen exactly like He said. You see? Why, he said, the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. If you just look at it and take care of the word just right, because the infinite God spoke it. God's word, you see. Jesus said, heavens and earth will pass away. We mentioned this morning. Heavens and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Oh, how we ought to rest upon the divine promise of the Son of God, who said, both heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Are we just thinking about a healing or something? What about that? This word shall never pass away. And this word shall fall into good ground. And it will reproduce. God said so. Amen. The right seed will be there at the right age, at the right time. Everything will be just right. Heavens and earth shall pass away, but His word shall never pass away. So everything in that Bible, He meant exactly what He said, and He's not going to change it. He's not going to change it when He talks about that first love being Him. He's not going to change it for anything. Nothing. You just pick out anything. He's not going to change it. It's going to be exactly what He said. He said He'd have a people that would be, He would have that preeminence of? Absolutely He will. There's no way anything in this life is going to distract her. It's not going to destroy her. She's going to stand there firm and strong, regardless of what's offered to her. I just think tomorrow, and it may not be God, but Satan may offer you something that could take up a lot of time. What are you going to do with it? And He knows, and Satan knows that as he keeps adding and keeps adding, gives us this, gives us that, lots this, lot that. Oh my, that's the less time God will get. I've tried to destroy you for a long time, God, and I'm going to destroy you once and for all, because I'm going to give your people all kinds of things. I'm going to make a way for them. Remember, all these things in life and blessings in life and all these material things is no sign of God's approval. No. No, by no means. But Brother Steve, the scripture says we shall prosper and be in health. Yes. But don't forget, Satan's got his hand in it too. Yeah. He may work it out just right to offer you something and watch you bite on it. And he knows he's got you. Especially when you start getting nervous. You know not to do it. You know you shouldn't get so involved in it. You know it shouldn't let it choke you like that. Didn't Jesus tell us? The cares of life choked? Huh? Didn't he tell us? Absolutely. But oh, that's right. It changes today. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. And God knew there would be things in this day that would try to choke us. Nice things. Things that's fancy. Material things. Yeah. You ever see a hoarder? There was a lady in town. She's dead now. She passed away. And I won't say her name, but honestly, and I know Amanda had done this too. You could not get through her house or her garage only by path. But it was like the 5-10 cent store. A little bit of everything. Stacked clear to the ceiling. Her garage, when she'd pull her car in, she did somehow save room to pull her car in a garage. But as she would pull in her garage, stuff would even rub the roof as she pulled in. The stuff was hanging from the ceiling. And barely enough room to even open a door to get out of the car. I can tell you of a man, and I could drive you to the place. I walked right in his house, and honestly, friends, the same way. And he was a man only about another year or two older than me. You had to go through paths in the house to try to get through to where you needed to go. It was so stacked up in there. To me it was junk, but to him it wasn't. And every opportunity he had, get this piece, get this thing, buy this, buy that. And his whole life was just engulfed with junk. I caught, you know. There was no place to sit. No place. Well, this guy was a car nut. So it wasn't, and he was single. So it wasn't full of trinkets and things like that. These paths and what you walked between was maybe V8 motors. Valve cover gaskets. Parts, spark plugs. Valve covers. Oil pans. Air cleaner, air breathers, carburetors. The house completely full. And couldn't get through it hardly. He had his paths. And sometimes we get that kind of minded. Just to have something. Just to gain something. And we don't realize what we're doing. As I said earlier, wouldn't it be nice if people would press that hard to get more of Christ in their life as they pressed to get more junk around? Wow. It'd be so nice. Material-minded. Materialism. You may only be one person in here. But the Holy Ghost is digging down in your alley. And you've got to recognize it, friends. And it's not because God don't love you. It's because God does love you. And he wants your life right once and for all. And quit fooling around. He's giving you opportunity after opportunity. And you still just keep flubbing it up. You know what will happen? If your seed and you keep flubbing it up, You might end up with a massive heart attack and your life will be gone tomorrow and take you out of this life. Yeah. You don't play with God. And you don't play with Him when you come in here. Because God knows all about you. Yeah. That's His way of doing things. So I trust that we will hearken unto His word and listen. In closing, I'll not hold you much longer here. Let me finish up on something here. He says here, this is in Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, paragraph 276. Just like all them other spies did, he's talking about Joshua and Caleb and the 10 spies and so forth, they went over and looked at Canaan. They come over there and said, oh, we look like grasshoppers aside of them. We can't take them. Now, do you feel like you can't? Are you so nervous and scared because of what you're doing? You wonder how you're going to get out of this? I'm going to tell you, if there's seeds laying in you, you're a thoroughbred. And you're more than able to take the land. You're more than able to overcome these things. You wasn't sent here to fill your life up with junk. You're here to give your life to Jesus Christ completely and surrender all to Him. And not let anything be a distraction to you. That's what you're here for. He says, they come over there and said, oh, we look like grasshoppers aside of them. We can't take them. You feel like maybe you went too far? And you just, how am I going to get out of this? How can I get out of this my way and my desire of doing this thing? Yeah. The Amalekites, will all these, what they're going to do, and says they went back. And Caleb and Joshua being thoroughbreds, amen, he says, by the word of God, know God said. I've been bringing back to your attention what God said. You see? Okay. I give you that land. They said, we are more than able to take it. I can stop this nonsense. I can quit letting the phone control my life. Instead of picking my phone up every half hour, I can pray every half hour. Huh. Yeah. I can talk to the Lord every half hour. Oh my. He says, I give you that land. They said, we're more than able to take it. It depends on where you're born from. If you're born of the Word of God, God's Word has the preeminence in His church. That's what He died for. That's His purpose, that He might be able to achieve, to have His preeminence working in His church. Let the Word of God shine forth. I renewed your mind a lot of portions of His Word tonight. Out of that scripture. No matter what anything else looks like, I don't care if the intellectuals say this or that or the other, it has nothing to do with it. God's word said so, and we are more than able to take it. Do you know that? Amen. Through Jesus Christ, you're more than able to straighten your life up. Yeah. If I preached that in my church, a minister told me, he said, I'd be preaching to four posts in the church. I said, then I'd preach to that. Yeah. Yes, sir. God's word said so. We can do it. God said do it. Oh, my. Didn't God's word tell you to attend upon the Lord without distraction? Absolutely. But, Brother Steve, that's only a woman. Now, come on now. He said attend upon the Lord. That's His word. It's all His word. Without distraction. Oh, my. What time is it? At times, I shouldn't hold you this long. But I just want to go into something else. But we'll stop there. It's all good, and you hate to stop, but I know it makes you tired. But saints, I'm just trying to be a real brother to you. I'm trying to help you all that I possibly can. And I see people getting destroyed every day, friends. Not so much even here, but I'm talking about even people in the world. But all this stuff that's laying out here for people, it's everywhere. And as I said this morning, have you ever seen a time it's so easy to get? Oh, it's so easy to get. You can make very little money and still get it. Credit, 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 everywhere, credit, you know? But Are we careful? Are we watching? Are we asking ourselves everything we go to do or we get involved in is, can this destroy me? Can this take me away from the Word of God and anything? Anything. The decisions you make in your home, with your family, your job, whatever it may be, can it take me away from the Word of God? Can buying this great big farm take me away from the Word of God? Oh, yeah, all these things can. Yep. Your whole life can be wrapped up in it. And then God's Word just goes clear out the door, like, oh, do-do-do-do, you know, this is just the way life is, you know. Is it? Oh, my. Saints, it's time to take inventory of our lives and make sure. Again, now, it may be a little rough sounding. It may sound a little harsh. You sisters, come to the instruments, please. But again, love is corrective. Is that right? It corrects us. And honestly, saints, I would worry if we'd come in these doors and we never got corrected. I'd worry. Because we all need correction. I always open my heart up to correction in the Lord. And when I begin to read His Word and study His Word, I begin to pray. I said, Lord, correct me if I'm wrong at anything. Please show me. Reveal it to me. Show me where I'm at, Lord. You see? Oh, my. And I've said it before. And I'm telling you, I would have no problem doing it. But I've told the Lord before. I said, Lord, if you want me to, I said, to be an example, I said, I'll get rid of everything I've got. As long as I've just got a roof over my head, car get back and forth. If you want me to do that, Lord, to be an example to people, I said, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Because stuff don't mean that to me. It doesn't mean anything to me. I appreciate it. I appreciate what God blesses me with to use and so forth. But I don't count any of it as being mine. I don't own anything. No. No way. I don't own a thing. There's nothing you can put in my casket that I want to take with me because when I'm dead and gone, who cares where it goes? Who cares who gets it? You know, I don't care. Yeah. It's just temporal things. It's all going to fade away. Yeah. And yes, I do try to take care of what God has blessed me to use. I try my best to take care of it. Yeah. But I don't get on my knees and pray to it and worship it and all that. No, I don't do that. No. Because some people's got the attitude, well, God bless me with this, and I don't care what happens to it, you know, it's just a piece of junk, you know, and I ain't going to take care of it, and they just let things fall apart and don't take care of nothing. And you know, leave it. But I'm going to tell you what, God give it to you, so you ought to take care of what He used. Didn't Brother Branham? Absolutely did. And if there's any example, it should be our example, you know, take care of what God lets you use, you know. But you can get rid of it today if you want. You can get rid of it anytime the Holy Spirit begins to move. This goes, that goes. Yeah. But it's when it means too much is when maybe the Holy Ghost begins to move. And as you're a little bit too close to this and too involved in this and you make every excuse in the world why you ain't going to. Then it means too much to you. Yeah. But like the little song goes, take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You're not going to take none of this junk with you, friends. Nothing. And I'm glad. Because honestly, there's been so many times I get so tired of fixing stuff and working on stuff. Yeah. And this rots and this falls apart and the bolt comes out there and this cracks and this falls apart. You know, you just get tired of it. You know. Sometimes you have to press yourself to get in the mood to fix it, you know. And I still got my hole in the floor in the bathroom. It's covered up, though. Got a nice piece of metal over it. Yeah. But that don't mean nothing to me. No. Some people, I'd be ashamed if I, especially the pastor. When my Lord Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head, I think I got it pretty nice. Yeah. Yeah. And it ain't because I'm lazy I ain't got it fixed. But it's been hard to make the time to do it. Because it's got to come clear apart to do it, you know. But if the Lord tarries long enough, I'll fix it. But mine wouldn't bother me a bit not to ever get it fixed. Yeah. But some people just fret and worry and stew if something needs done. Oh, I'm so nervous. I got to have it done. Oh, my. Get all nervous and all uptight because a piece of junk, is something wrong with it? Wow. You come from someplace different than I come from. Tomorrow comes, we'll take care of it. If not, so what? You know? But my, we get so, those things are so precious to us and mean so much to us. My. Again, if only this word would be that important to us. That something we needed to overcome and we get nervous and cry out, I need to get this done! Oh, this is what we need to get done, friends. Yeah, and finish the work. Yes. I hope you understand me. Amen. Amen. Let us all stand. Let's sing that little chorus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Amen. You willing to lose all this old world and take Jesus? Amen. Let's sing it. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Do you mean it? Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Sing again, Brother Timothy, come on up. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus.